Mr. Chairman, we'll move on.
Yes,
number 13,
please.
So again, as you just stated, again, those listening, this is Tom Kirschman from the Wildlife Division. Number 13 talks about hunting requirements and prohibited methods. Specifically, we're talking about scopes on muzzle loading. And again, one of those discussions that has been spirited and lively. This has been a topic that's been discussed in previous times. And it does come down to one of those equipment-related discussions, which are never easy, because no matter who you ask, no matter who you talk to, no matter what kind of equipment you're talking about, everybody has preferences and everybody has likes, and there's some different philosophies when it comes to pieces of equipment. So all that being said, again, you remember this was originated from a petition brought forward to the commission asking for a change to the administrative rule, which currently says that you can have telescopics with no magnification, and the concern of not being able to acquire that type of scope for a muzzleloader that the individual had purchased, and asked for the 1x4, 1x6, which he could more readily find. Certainly there are scopes of all of those available out there on various means and markets. And we've heard time and time again from individuals the need for magnification because of vision limitations, and I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go in the age discussion. How's that? Because there are individuals of younger age that have vision limitations as well. So this is not an age thing. But all that being said, when we discussed this as a department, commissioners, we looked at it more from the R3 perspective. And we understand that everybody has some likes and dislikes and different opinions, and that's what's great about these discussions. We took the side and the stance of looking at it from R3, an opportunity for individuals. And if it does mean that somebody has a visual impairment or a limitation and a scope is going to help them be successful and give them the opportunity to be out there and participate, that is wonderful. We looked at this from the standpoint of why should it not be the decision of the hunter to decide what equipment piece should or should not be used. We looked at it and had the discussion of if we retain the existing language, we as an agency, as individuals, are saying you can't do this or you can do that. And we really believe, as we talk about all these different R3 and giving people the opportunity to continue to participate, and maybe it does bring new people into the field as well, why not let those individuals make that decision? And so that's why you will see on your action sheet here, the department recommended change to proposal is asking your consideration of repealing the current administrative rule, which talks about the telescopic limitations, and remove it completely and put that decision on the hands and the shoulders of the individual hunter. So that's not going to mean that somebody still can't go out and hunt with, you know, an inline and have that scope on there, or go out with a flintlock and have the open sights. It's their decision. We're not saying what this is or is not. We're not saying what kind of hunting season this is. Some individuals are going to have that discussion and be on that side of the concept of, well, this is a primitive hunting season. Nowhere in administrative rule does it say this is a primitive hunting season. Again, we're looking at it from the standpoint of give the hunter the opportunity to decide what piece of equipment or how they want to do it, as long as they can continue to go out there and do it ethically, legally, and being able to be out there and enjoy the outdoors. So, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, that's why you see the recommended change to your proposal that we bring forward to you, asking for your favorable of removing the administrative rule and let the hunters decide if they want to have telescopics or not. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Tom, is this proposed change include the use of a 1x4 or 1x6 scope is the only scopes to be used with this proposed rule change, or can they pick any scope they want to put on their gun?
Mr. Chairman, so as your proposal is stated right now, it would allow up to that 1x4 or 1x6. Or a zero magnification or open sights, but anything above that would not be permissible or allowable under the proposal that's on the table right now.
You know, I'm kind of thinking that I don't know why, if we're going to allow scopes, allow a scope, whether they want to use a 418 or 5x25. I don't know why we wouldn't do that. I just think that's okay.
Right. And that's why we brought forward the recommended changes to repeal the current rule and just say, let's get rid of the telescopic rule, which allows the hunter to decide, we don't care what level of scope you put on it. You could put a 3x9 or the most
elaborate scope. So approval of your proposal is allow scopes in general, not limited to 1x4 or 1x6. Okay.
If you amend your proposal to go with the department recommendation, would simply state, when you go muzzleloader hunting, you can go with open sights or any type of scope you would choose to have on your muzzleloader. Correct.
Yeah, because I'm thinking with the guns today, the muzzleloaders today, if we want to keep this a, if we want to go with a primitive type hunting season, then we'll need to go with the, almost go back to the flintlock.
And again, Mr. Chairman, under our recommendation of saying you get to choose what you want, again, that certainly does not preclude or limit somebody to do just what you described.
Okay.
You could go out there with your flintlock and enjoy the most primitive type of muzzleloader you wanted to, or you could go with the most elaborate scope that you wanted to use on your muzzleloader.
Okay, thank you.
So, you know, this gets contentious too, and so what separates, if we adopt a new rule and allow the scopes, so then what separates the muzzleloader season from the rifle season? What's the difference?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, so when the muzzleloader season started, that was a request that came to the department and commissioners from some individual hunters, obviously having that high interest in muzzleloader deer hunting. They even asked specifically for a separate season, hence why the muzzleloading season is later in the year. Yes, you are correct. During the East River and Fire or East River and West River deer seasons, you can use a muzzleloader if you choose to, and you can use scopes during that time frame as well. Probably the main primary difference from firearm standpoint, again, it's a one-shot deal. Now, certainly there are rifles out there that are single-shot also that individuals use out there. We know of individuals that do that. A lot of this stems from the request of having a standalone muzzleloader season that at a different time of the year because of that interest, and it would be an additional hunting opportunity. And so those would be some of the reasons what would separate it. But, you know, again, remember also during the rifle season, you are allowed to use your bow if you wanted to harvest that animal with that license as well.
But in terms of the capability of the rifle and the scope, I mean, the only real difference if this is adopted is one shot from a muzzle loader and multiple shells or whatever bullets.
And obviously one other significant difference would be that ultimate range of a high-powered rifle, depending what caliber you're talking about, the distance of a shot that you could take versus a muzzle loader. I mean, some of the newer muzzle loaders, obviously, you can be very accurate at 100 or 100-plus yards. There are numerous hunters out there that are very accurate at 300, 400 yards with rifles, depending on what they have and the ammunition and scopes and everything that they use. So those are some of those differences between the rifle and muzzle loader.
Thanks. Commissioner
Beese. Commissioner Beese here. I really don't have a problem with the muzzle loaders and use whatever scopes you have. I'm thinking more on the side of the increased accuracy and letting our muzzle loaders hunt anywhere in the state they want, because we are seeing a lot of use in our public lands, and when you turn more efficiency out, you're going to harvest more animals. So are we going to look at doing anything to start putting units out? So those areas, because there are a lot, most of them are antlerless tags. Is that right?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
So is that, how much is that going to affect certain areas?
So that would be obviously one of the things that we would have to continue looking at, no different that we look at from the standpoint of harvesting more deer via archery with more and more people archery hunting as well. With muzzleloader, we still, or at this time, we have 1,000 any deer tags. Again, you're correct, that's spread across the state. And the antlerless licenses are as well across the state. Now, also remember when we talk about the antlerless license for muzzleloader, no different than archery, there are some counties / hunting units that they are not valid because of where we are with population standpoint of overall deer numbers as well. So there are units in geographic areas where even muzzleloader antlerless are not valid because we are trying to bring up the deer numbers in those specific locations. Now, again, looking at those 1,000 licenses, if the harvest success does go up, let's say, you know, it's 8, 10, 12% right in there, we're talking about potentially 100 deer. And from a statewide perspective, a biological standpoint, that is not going to have a biological impact. Now, if they're all used in one small location, that would be a different discussion. But from what we see and know the distribution of those are scattered throughout the state. Bottom line is, if we see that success goes up, that's something that we have to closely monitor and keep that into consideration of all other deer seasons and how we allocate licenses. But at this moment, we wouldn't anticipate a biological impact of this type of change in administrative rule.
What is its success rate now, do you know?
43%?
40%. Because it just seems like, you know, the Black Hills area and the western regions is a big draw for people from all around the state. And I think, I don't know this for a fact, but it seems to me like, you know, a lot of that's coming out west because it's a great place to come and go, great place to spend a weekend and
public land opportunity.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, everybody likes to go west, right?
Yeah.
And I could see that being an effect down the road, maybe. We need to keep an eye on it, I think.
Yeah. Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. You said, Tom, that nowhere in administrative rule does it say this is a primitive hunt, but can't we assume that when it was originally set up that it was intended to be a primitive hunt? Isn't that the perception out there, that this is a primitive style hunt? Is that not correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've talked about that a lot internally as well, and in our discussions and thinking back, I would assume that would be a fair statement to some individuals that was the perception of the season, but I believe that is the overall belief of what that season is right now. And maybe things and philosophies of some individuals have changed over time too as equipment advances and changes as well. And again, I don't know at the end of the day if it matters if it is stated as primitive or is believed as primitive. It still comes down to the equipment issues. And again, that's why we come back to our recommendation of letting the hunters make that decision as to what pieces of equipment they want to use during that season.
May I follow up, Mr. Jim?
Sure.
you said that they can make a choice during the muzzleloader season to put whatever sight they want to. They also have that choice already, and they can use that muzzleloader in the rifle season.
Mr. Chairman, you are correct. So during the, for example, East River deer season, an individual can use a muzzleloader with a scope on it. So that is correct.
They really already have the choice.
They have that choice. You know, and I know another thing that has been brought up, I can think of one, maybe two of the comments that came in from the public. Another item that we talked about a little bit in our discussions too is the concept of basically requiring or essentially asking those hunters to remove equipment, remove the scope during one season, put it back on for this one if you really choose to use it, and going back and forth. Some individuals probably enjoy doing that, as you and I had the conversation, and others would be very, very leery about that just from the standpoint of what does that mean to my sighting and effectiveness and all those parts that come with it. So it would be another part of that discussion to consider.
Thank you.
Commissioner Whitmire,
I guess as I'm hearing this out, I'm kind of feeling that this is more of a special buck tag that you can, I mean, it's got the versatility, so it's got advantage that you can use in multiple units, and we're removing one of the strong disadvantages, which is the effective range at which you can use this. By enabling some of these 300-yard capable guns with 300-yard optics, a nice 3x9 power variable scope or what have you, it's not as disabling as what the intent, and I, more so than maybe primitive, is that disadvantaged hunt, and therefore you get the advantage of being able to use it in multiple units. I just feel like this is making that that whole intent different, I guess, and I just don't like that aspect of having that multi-unit. If you're going to make it just so it's a single-shot rifle, it feels more like it's more like a special buck tag that a single shot is used.
Thank you. Commissioner Sharp, did you want to say something? No? Okay. Any more discussion? So if there's no discussion, we either need a motion to approve 13 as it is or reject it, or there is a proposed recommended change, so theoretically we could start there.
Correct.
Does anybody want to make a motion to change it consistent with what the department has written here?
I would make that motion.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion to adopt the recommended change, which would be to not limit scopes?
Correct.
Any more discussion on that? If not, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so now we need a motion to accept or deny 13 as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that motion? Commissioner Boyd.
I should probably say something. I understand the spirit of this, and the arguments are valid. The conversations with hunters that I've had in my area, their consensus is leave it alone. And for that reason, I can't support it.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Phillips.
I think it's okay the way it is. I will not support this for the same reasons that Commissioner Boyd has said, that the people I've talked to say leave it alone.
Any other comments, discussion? Commissioner Sharp.
And I understand the reasonings for it. If the guns had not, technology had not improved the weapons used from the, how long have we had a muzzleloader season?
I have to go back and look, but 15 years? Approximately 15.
Technology has changed. You know, just like when we had the first bow season, I would think that the guys that hunted in the first archery season we had probably would be amazed at the technology changes and improvements in equipment. And as somebody who's had to wear glasses for 30-some years, I really appreciate the use of a scope. And so one of the comments resonated with me was the fact that the 24-year-old hunting with the same rifle as the younger 62-year-old guy hunting with the same rifle, there is probably a distinct difference in the outcome, and that's why I feel that just leveling the playing field isn't a bad thing to do. So that's the reason I'm supporting this.
More discussion? Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. I guess I would remind that, you know, it's pretty much after the rut is over with the deer hunting, and the weather gets pretty cold, it's probably not a season for the wimps. You know, it would be a tough, it's good. In the northeast part of South Dakota, it would be a tough hunt regardless. After the other deer seasons are over, I think it's gonna be a tough hunt.
Seems like you were looking at me when he said that. any more discussion, comments? All right, so we're going to vote, and if you vote aye, that'll be in favor of 13 as amended. No would be against the motion. All right. So all in favor of approving item 13 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. All right. Roll call.
Boyd? No. Locken?
Yes. No.
Sharp?
Aye.
Jensen?
No.
4-3.
All right, so it stays the way it is, and we don't need any more motions, true, or do?
Correct.
We're good?
With that result, the administrative rule would stay as it currently is.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, so let's go to 14, dog training on public land.
Again, Mr.